You know, the Bible tells us that there is one who has come to rob and to kill and to destroy. In John 10:10, Jesus talks about the thief, and he contrasts the thief with himself. And he says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We know that the thief came in the garden. He came in the disguise of a serpent. And his whole purpose was to convince Adam and Eve that their purpose given to them by God was somehow incomplete. That there was a higher purpose that God was hiding from them. And that if they would just follow his instructions, and if they would just listen to him, they could attain to a higher place. And they could move up in the world. And they fell for that temptation. And man has been falling ever since. We know from the scriptures that when Jesus was born, the wise men came seeking him, following the star that had appeared to them in the east. They came to King Herod and they explained to him what their mission was. And he lied to them and deceived them and said, I want to worship this child also. When you find him and you discover his identity, then come back to me and reveal it to me so that I too might go and give him gifts. We know that that was not true at all, that what was in Herod's heart was the opposite of that. He wanted to kill this baby before this baby would grow to be a king that would rival his power. And thank God he was thwarted in that, because the wise men were warned in a dream that they should return home a different way. And then the Bible says that an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and said, take the baby and flee to Egypt, because the rulers here are after his life. And it fulfilled the scripture that said, out of Egypt I've called my son. We know that when Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and came after being out in the wilderness facing temptation, that during that period of time, the devil tried again to stop the purposes of God by offering Jesus an alternative. Why suffer when you can have it easily? Why go God's way when I can give you all of these things? You don't need to obey God. God's purposes for your life are hard. And if you'll just listen to me, and if you'll just worship me, then you'll have a purpose in life that will give you every kind of pleasure and give you everything that the world has to offer. And thank God, once again, Jesus said, away from me, Satan, and resisted that temptation. The devil hates it that you and I have a purpose in God. He absolutely despises the plans that God has for me and that God has for you. So he's doing everything in his power to be able to separate us from that purpose. He doesn't want to see it fulfilled, because he knows that if we fulfill God's purpose, that his work in the earth will be diminished and defeated. But God is for us and not against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so even though Satan is throwing everything that he possibly can at me and at you to divide and separate each one of us from the plan that God has for our lives, God is even more committed to making sure that you fulfill your purpose and you do what you were put here on the earth to do. I want to read a passage of scripture as we get into the message today from the Message paraphrase of the Bible. The Message is a paraphrase. A paraphrase is different than a translation. It's less accurate. It's less reliable. It's like you hearing something and then you repeating it to someone else. So it's not verbatim, but it's basically the idea or the gist of whatever was said. A translation is a word by word breaking down of the original Greek word or Hebrew word into modern day English language, and so it has much more reliability. But the Message Bible oftentimes will say things in just the right way. So the scripture that we're reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, and I'm going to read down through verse 12. And the scripture says, how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that gets us into what we're going to talk about. So in the world today, people are so confused about purpose that almost everything that God has given us has somehow gotten twisted. So people are not even sure now that God had a unique purpose for creating male and female. And we can't even get a grasp of that. Male and female. God created man with a unique purpose for man. And he created woman with a unique purpose for woman. And we got two different things going on here. Each one created good by God with a unique purpose. And when you get that confused, what's going on there? I mean, how is that so difficult to grasp? And why is that such a point of contention? It's because the devil wants to separate people from their purpose. If you're a female, you're never going to be who God created you to be until you accept that you're a female. Because God created you female for a unique purpose. All of this stuff is, whoa! You got to understand it from the perspective of the Bible. The devil, from the get-go, has done everything in his power to make sure that man was ignorant of his purpose or confused about his purpose. So we don't know the purpose of anything anymore. Marriage has a purpose. Male and female coming together for a purpose. It's not about us making this stuff up or trying to maintain some kind of male-dominated mumbo-jumbo stuff. All of that is a bunch of nonsense. It goes back to God, and what did God say? It goes back to God's original design, God's original plan for man, which has been under attack from the beginning, violently under attack, so that we have no idea what our brain is for, what's your imagination for. That's all twisted and perverted now, all corrupted because of man's fall. Because man thought that he could attain to a higher plane, a higher sense of consciousness. And so he lost his mind and lost his ability to use his mind for the glory of God. Now the mind is the enemy of God. Do you think God created your mind to be the enemy in the get-go, in the beginning? Absolutely not. Your mind was supposed to serve the purposes of God with a holy imagination, a creativity that was beyond belief. And now we're just dumb. And the imaginations that we have are just wicked and evil and twisted and stupid. We still have it, but it's all corrupted. How about your body? We don't know what our body's for. So we mistreat our body horribly and don't understand what it's for. Have no idea what it's for. So we will misuse it in all different kinds of ways. We have no idea what human sexuality is for. Almost every point of contention politically or socially in our society today is rooted in some kind of weird sex business. Some kind of goofy, perverted nonsense. Some kind of twistedness where the purpose for all this stuff got messed up from the beginning. So we don't know how to use our money. We have no idea what money's for. No idea whatsoever. So people will use money. The people that can sin the most are the ones that have access to money. Poor people, it's hard. When I was working for minimum wage, there was no money left for any kind of real sinning. because you just simply could not afford it. And you wanted to, but you just couldn't afford it. And a lot of the motivation for people making money, why do they want that money? They want that money because that money will buy them some sin, some big-time sin. Not small-time sin, big sin with a big S. That's why they work hard. That's why they lie and steal and do whatever they got to do to get that big money, because with that big money, you can buy the... All twisted and perverted. Just all twisted up. We have no idea what education's for. We have no idea what any of this stuff is for. It's all perverted, all messed up, all separated from the purposes of God. When you separate anything from the purpose that God created it for, it gets messed up, it gets goofy. It gets perverted. And our young people are being taught just insane things. Crazy things. I'm not even going to mention what I saw on the news this morning. Shouldn't have watched the news. I wasn't going to do it, and then I did. I saw just a little bit while I was brushing my teeth. Shouldn't have done it. But I'm not going to even get into that. But you'll read about it. Just goofy stuff. Because we're separated from the purposes of God. Amen. So we get something, and we think we know what it's for. And we have no idea. Because we don't go to the person that created it and ask them, what's this for? It's like going into Cracker Barrel and looking up at the ceiling. And you see things up there hanging from the ceiling. And they're all useful things, but you have no idea what they're for. You know what I'm talking about? All those tools. All kinds of tools hanging up there. Like, what is that weird looking thing? What did they do with that? What was that designed for? It was designed on purpose to solve a problem. To be useful. To be a blessing. It didn't always exist, but somebody saw that there was a need for that particular tool. And so somebody thought, let's see, we'll design it in such a way that it will solve that problem. And there are things that you'd have to have an old timer come in there. And they would point out, say, you know what that's for? I have no idea. If I saw that, if somebody brought that and gave that to me as a gift, I'd throw it away. And then they'd have to explain to you, if you did that, you'd be throwing away this and throwing away, this does have value. This does make sense. Now that you explain it to me, now that you tell me what it's actually made for, now I see its value. You see, God made us in such a way that we have incredible value to him. He would never throw you away. He would never wad you up and toss you off in the corner and leave you there, because you were designed for something very important. Very important to God. And the devil has been working your entire life to keep you from seeing what that is and knowing what that is. So you have believed all kinds of things because there were people that didn't value you. And so you feel rejected. You feel hurt. You feel like you have no value. You have no purpose anymore because of what someone said. There are children that have been born that were not wanted. Or someone said, I didn't want a boy. I wanted a girl. Or I didn't want a girl. I wanted a boy. And so there was rejection even from birth. It's an inconvenient time for me to be pregnant. I didn't want to get pregnant. I don't even know who I'm pregnant by. And so from the very beginning, this question mark, should I be here? Is somebody going to come along at some point and say, excuse me, come with me. You got to get out of here because you don't belong here. This uncomfortable feeling that no matter where we are, we don't belong there. That somebody's going to find out that we're there and they're going to say, you don't have the right stuff. This in this club, to get in here, you've got to be this and you've got to be that, and you don't belong here. Get out. Amen. Get out. I don't belong. Therefore, I can never have peace. I can never have rest. I can never have confidence. I can never really know if there's anything to this life or if it's just an accident. Then I become susceptible to the philosophies and the weirdos that are out there that try to offer us some alternative. But it always ends in more discouragement and more depression and finding out even more horrible things that we just feel there's no point. And if there's no point, then just do whatever. Amen. Just mistreat yourself. Just whatever. Just see if you can get some kind of pleasure out of life if you can. And don't worry about the eternity. Don't worry about God if there even is one. Don't be concerned about any of these things. But the scripture tells us that long before there was ever anything, God saw me and God saw you. That God didn't try to scramble around and think about how to prepare for your life when somebody popped up with a pregnancy test. That before that ever happened, God knew you. Before two people ever got together and did the biological thing, God was looking at you and me and knew us long before. And it prearranged things. Now, there are people that go into extremes of predestination and, everything is God's will. You know, anything that happens is God's will. I heard a good joke about that, a person that was a Calvinist and a very strong person that believed in predestination and the sovereignty of God, and everything that happened was God's will, and wound up falling down a flight of stairs. And then their first words were, "Well, thank God we got that out of the way." Because, you know, that's been God's plan, you know, that I would fall down those stairs. And all right, check that one off the list of things. Like, everything that happens is God's will. There's two kinds of life. There's this purposeful life that's in Christ, and then there's all the other stuff that's going on over here. There's life in Christ where there's purpose, and there's this other life outside of Christ where everybody has a question mark, and everybody's seeking, and everybody's looking, and it's just like this boiling cauldron of desire to know worldwide. So that's why religions are just boiling everywhere. Just people are just in a state because they gotta know. There's one thing that people just cannot live with. It's like if James were to come running by the platform right now and throw a glass of water in my face and leave, and I didn't explain what happened, then everybody would just have to come up with their own explanation. They couldn't live with, "Oh, we'll just let that go. We don't need to know why he did that. We don't need to know what's going on." There's a need to know, isn't there? Yes. It would drive you crazy. You'd have to, "Please, can somebody tell me what was happening there? Do they do that every Sunday? Is this a ritual that they have here at this church? What is going on here? Why did that happen?" We cannot deal with uncertainty. We've got to know. We've got to know. So people are just distressed because they don't know. They don't understand. They don't believe. They haven't found the answer to their question. But God says that we have a prearranged purpose. The scripture says we're his workmanship, his masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prepared and made ready for us. God has made it ready. God's made the path ready. God's made the life ready. It's ready. It's like the table is set. Where are you? Amen? It's like the bus is leaving and there's a seat reserved for you. Where are you? You're going to miss the bus because God's prepared a place for you. God has prepared things for you to do that are good things that he prepared before you were ever born. The Bible tells us that God's called us to love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. He's called us to love others as he has loved us, and he's preparing us to rule and reign with Christ forever. That's where we're headed. In Christ, that's where we're going. We're just in love with God. We love God. Love has been awakened in our hearts. When we opened up today, I talked to you about the joy of having kids and the love that's awakened in your heart when that is birthed, when that child is birthed. When Christ is born in our hearts, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, it's a love thing. You love God, and God loves you, and you feel that, you know that, you've got confidence, and you know that, hey, something's changing in my life. And then you begin to love other people, and you begin to love other people as God has loved you. And then you begin to be conscious of the fact that God's called me, not just to be, you know, a person that just sort of drifts through life, but God's called me to be a person of excellence. God's called me to live an ascending life. That I'm not supposed to stay down here, but I'm supposed to be ascending. I've got a path, and that path is this way. Some people only want to live their lives on a vertical path. You're not going to be on a vertical path. You're supposed to be on an ascending path. A vertical path is the path that says, I'm going to stay down here and live like this until Jesus takes me this way. That's ridiculous. Once you get saved and you get born again, then God has you on a path that leads to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So it's an ascending path. Amen. You're taken off. And so there isn't going to be any kind of vertical thing. It's going to be, you're just going to keep going this way until you stand face to face with God. Amen. It's not living down here like this and then waiting for the day that physically you die so that, boom, you can go vertical. That's not what it's about. It's about being caught up with the Lord and being seated with the Lord. The Bible says in heavenly places, in our heart, in our mind, and in our desire, that we're already moving in that direction by the power of God. There's a purpose for you. There's a purpose for me, and it's powerful in God. It's different than it is for everybody else. It's unique. It's unique to you, and God made you with a unique set of strengths and skills so that you could fulfill that purpose. Oftentimes, we rely so much on what we like to do or what we're talented in or what we have strengths in. It's good to know what your strengths are, but God is not bound to use you according to your strengths. He's not bound to do that. God will use you according to the way that He created you, and many times we don't even know who we are. We don't even know what we're capable of doing. We just have to trust God and walk it out with Him and say, God, when my wife and I were dating, she asked me, we got serious and we knew that we were going to get married. She asked me if I would ever consider ever going into the ministry as a pastor, and I said, no, I want to serve God. And I believe God's called me to serve Him, but I do not want to be a pastor. Pastors are poor and they're picked on. And I don't want to be either one of those things. And I think there are other ways for me to serve God without me doing that. So I'm just going to serve God, and I'm going to use the strengths that I have. And then God got a hold of me and said, now I'm going to use you in a way that doesn't line up with your understanding of your strengths. And I'm going to move you around, and it's going to be very uncomfortable for a while, and you're going to not like it, but you're going to do it if you want to fulfill your purpose. And so God moved me into what I'm doing now, but I hated it at the beginning. And every time I would preach, I would go home and put the pillow over my head and just say, God, you are humiliating and shaming me in front of lots of people. Well, not so many, but it was a few people. But a few people was a few too many. And I just was relying on what I could do naturally and what I could do that was strong in my flesh. And God's not bound by that. He's not restricted by that. Don't follow your strengths. Follow Him. Don't do that. Don't follow your talent. Follow Him. Amen? Follow Him. He knows how this all works. And sometimes you think, well, why do I have all this skill or I have this ability, but I'm not really, that's not the direction that I went in. Well, His ways are higher than your ways, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. This is where we have to go by a relationship with Him and not just be led by our own natural inclination. There's a prearranged path. There's a purpose and there's a path. Can you say that with me? There's a purpose and there's a path. Say it again. There's a purpose and there's a path. It's not just you just run all over the place and just do whatever you want to do. The Bible says the steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by whom? By the Lord. And He delights in His way and blesses His path. The He is a capital H, which means God delights in the way that He has called you to walk. He delights in it. And if we're going to live for Him, then we want Him to be delighted. Amen. It's not about us saying, God, this is the path that I'm going to walk. Now, you make it delightful for me. It's me saying, God, what is the delightful path that you've selected for me? And Lord, put me on that path. Put me on that path. I may not be familiar with it. It might even be a little bit frightening for me. I might feel a little bit insecurity on that path. But Lord, as long as you're leading me down that path, I'm willing to go. I'll walk that path because you're the one that has selected it and you're the one that knows better than I do what's best for me. And the Bible says that not only does the Lord delight Himself in us as we walk the path of righteousness that He has selected for us, but the Bible says He also blesses that man's path. Amen. That path is the blessed path. And there are people that wonder, they wonder why they can't make God bless them on the wrong path. They just get on the wrong path and they get mad at God and they show God how mad they are by the first thing they do is they start sitting in the back. Because that's a clue. They're saying, God, see where I am? I used to sit in the front, but now I'm sitting in the back. So you better pay attention because I can't go any further back than this. If I go any further back, I'll be in the parking lot. And so if you don't want me in the parking lot, you better start blessing the path that I'm on. And they just get angry with God because God's not blessing that path. But the path that is blessed is the path that God chose. Yeah. it's the path of purpose that is blessed. It's not the path that you chose, your career path. You may choose a path, but it's not going to be the blessed path. And I'm not saying that it won't be even successful according to man. There might be money on that path, but you can't serve mammon and God at the same time. There might be all kinds of recognition and fame and power on that path, but it won't be the blessed path. It won't be the blessed path. The blessed path is different. Blessing is different. Blessing is different than riches. The Bible says that the Lord blesses us and he enriches us and adds no sorrow to it. That means you can get stuff from other places, other sources. But I'll tell you what, there's a price to pay. It isn't what it seems. And we know that. And you can think of people that have chosen these paths, and you can think of how it turned out for them and it didn't work well. And it's not going to work well for you either. And it's amazing how each successive generation falls under the same spell. Each successive generation falls under the same lies, under the same attacks. Every young person now is being attacked in this area. That's why there's all this trouble. That's why they're going through what they're going through. That's why this rebellion thing that they're going through is designed to begin to slowly drive a wedge between them and their purpose. It's designed to bring them out from underneath the covering that God has for them so that the devil will be able to single them out and there'll be nobody to resist. There are kids that are supposed to stay under the covering of their parents, not because their parents are perfect, not because even right now they like their parents. Big whoop-de-doo. Someday you'll have kids and they won't like you either. So you stay under that covering, because if you don't, the devil is going to have you all to himself, and he is going to twist you every which way. And you're going to be so messed up by the time he's done with you, you won't know what your purpose is. You won't know if God is in heaven or where he is. You won't know if there's a plan or not. God's got a prearranged path, and it's the path of righteousness. It's not the path of the scoffer. It's not the path of the skeptic. It's not the path of the person that wants to just eat, drink, and be merry. That's not the path. Other people can go, you say, well, this person goes to church and they go to that club, or this person goes to church and they drink, and hey, forget that stuff. You're not following them. Or maybe you are, but you're not supposed to be following them. If that's not God's purpose for your life, you get out of that. It's not about what's socially acceptable. It's not about community standards. It's about purpose and God's purpose for your life. And I just, people, you know, because people will come with their arguments and it's just, they're on another higher spiritual plane. So that's why they have all this liberty to do all this stuff. Forget that nonsense. It's not about, what did he set us free for? So you can go up to the club and drink and go to church on Sunday? No, he set you free so that you could do the purposes of God for your life. And the last I heard, you got to be kind of sober to do that. Because you can't even drive your car if you're not. So how are you going to do the purposes of God? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Number three, prearranged place. This is to give you an example now. I'm going to take an apostolic team out of the book of Acts and show you how they knew their place. This is how they knew their place, because it will help us to know our place. How am I going to know my place? I'm going to know my place the same way that they were able to know their place, because place is important. Amen? I'm not here because I was looking around and said, man, I think I'll go to Jacksonville. The year that we moved here, 25 plus years ago, almost 26 years ago now, the metropolitan area that we left was number one in the nation for quality of life. Jacksonville was 396th or thereabouts. So we didn't come because of that. I didn't come because I was homeless. I didn't come because I was jobless. I didn't come because I was looking to come to Jacksonville. I came because this place was prearranged for us. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't. If we had chosen this place, they would have run us out of here within the first 6 months. They had all the tools to do it, wanted to do it, could have done it, couldn't do it. Why couldn't they do it? Because we were whatever. No, we were less than, totally defenseless, clueless, Didn't know what to do except to just say, well, God, you called us here. We're just going to stay here until you lead us out of here. Some people will move and they'll go from place to place following the dollar. And they'll just say, well, if there's more money here, then that's where I got to go. And I've got to go here and I've got to go there. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to go where the climate is more agreeable to me. Some people say, well, I got to go home. I got to go back to where I came from. I joined the Marine Corps and I left home, 20 years ago or 20 plus years ago. And now I'm done with the Marine Corps. So the next step for me is to go home. No, the reason that you have spent the last 20 years away from home is because God got you out of there. And what are you doing going back? There was a reason why he got you out of there. He got you away from that culture, away from that stuff. You're supposed to love your family, honor your father and your mother, but you're supposed to follow God. Abraham had to follow God to a place that God would show him. And God said, you leave your kindred, you leave your country, you leave your father's house, and you follow that place. Check it out, Genesis chapter 12. There's a place. All churches are equal. All churches are the same. No, they're not. Well, this church is better than that church. I'm not even going to get into that kind of comparison because that's nonsense. It's all about the place. Is this the place? If it's not the place, you don't belong here. We don't recruit members because it might not be your place. And I don't want you to think that it's your place because I was a clever recruiter. If it's not your place, then it's not your place. I don't want you to be out of place. It might be nice to have you here. I'm not against you coming, but I want you to be in your place. I'm here to preach you into your place, whatever your place is, to teach you into your place so that there's an atmosphere here where revelation can come and the light bulb will go on in your head and you'll say, this is it, or this isn't it. And then you just shake my hand. God bless you, Pastor. I'm out. I got to go. God's leading me. People don't leave churches because of that. They leave because they don't like the praise and worship. They leave because they don't like the preacher. They're not led out by the Spirit of God. They're driven out by their own strong emotion. And then they go from place to place to place and wander and wander and wander until they just give up on church. It's just a mess. Church is such a mess. No, what's a mess is you. You're the mess. Church is just church. It's just what it's always been. And if you're in the wrong place, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. It's not always that case. You know, there are exceptions. You know, there are things that are happening in churches all over the country, all over the world today that are just weird. And sometimes the Lord says, shake the dust off your feet. I don't go there anymore. Why are you going there? So I started out telling you I was going to read you something, didn't I? But you forgot about that. But I didn't, because it's in my notes here. Thank God. The Bible says, now when they... this apostolic team led by the Apostle Paul, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, which means they wanted to go to Asia. It was a place that they wanted to go, but what did the Holy Spirit say? I forbid you to go. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Where did they want to go? Bithynia. And what did the Holy Spirit say? No. So they didn't go. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Who did God speak to? The Apostle Paul. Now you'll notice a change now that's taking place in the pronoun. The people that were part of his team, what did they say? We concluded that after God had spoken to our leader, that God had called us to go. They didn't say, well, God bless you, Paul, you go. God didn't speak to me. I haven't heard God say anything. No, you're the apostolic leader. If God spoke to you, then that doesn't just involve you, that involves us. And they went. Tried to go here, tried to go there, tried to go all over the place. God says, no, don't go there. Don't go here. The Bible says that as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit of God. When we look at it this way, we see how desperately, like, not spiritually minded we are. Aren't we just driven by our flesh so much? I mean, even when you come to church every Sunday, you can still just miss the whole thing. I mean, you can just then, you know, we're more conscious when we come to church of what people are wearing or who's on the platform or who's there and who's not there or whether it's too hot or it's too cold or we like the songs. We're more conscious of the praise and worship and the preaching than we are of being in a place where God is supposed to be helping us and shaping and defining and refining our purpose. Instead of thinking about everybody else, I need to say, God, am I fulfilling my purpose? God, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here in this place for a purpose. I've the path that I took was either your path and it led me here, or it was some other path. Am I on the right path? Am I in the right place? And this is what we need to be asking God for, not about what sister so-and-so is doing or what brother so-and-so did, but what am I doing to fulfill the purpose of God for my life? Because that path is the blessed path. And that's the one that God takes joy in. And that's the one that brings success and prosperity into my life and brings fulfillment and answers the question, why am I here? Then there are prearranged partners. Prearranged partners. I love this scripture. Two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There are people that you have to partner with in order to fulfill your purpose. People that you just have to meet. In order for me to fulfill my purpose, I had to meet a woman who was named Miriam Pope. The problem was Miriam Pope was a missionary kid living in Brazil. I was a farm boy living in northern Minnesota. Two people could not have been more diverse culturally. She spoke Portuguese. I spoke heavily accented English. She was living south of the equator in the tropics, and I was living on the North Pole. We were miles apart in every way possible. I went to a Bible college in Oskaloosa, Iowa, 60 miles southeast of Des Moines, called Vinard Bible College. It's defunct now, which means it's no longer in existence. And I went there for 2 years, majored in Bible, minored in music. My brother joined me my second year there, and we became roommates. He hated it there. I'd gotten a full scholarship my second year to tour with a team that represented the college. So I got a total free ride. I had a ball, traveled all over the country, sang all over the place, just had a blast. My brother was back there at the dorm by himself most of the time, just hating life. And he said, I am not going to go back to this school. And I just felt like I was supposed to stay, we were supposed to stay together. Two is better than one. So he applied to different colleges. One of our professors was a graduate of a school called Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. And he was on the music faculty. He was awesome. And he talked to us about the school. And so I thought, well, I feel like I need to transfer. And I want to major in music. And I feel like that's what God's called me to do. And I'm just going to sing. And I'll sing the gospel. And that's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to serve the Lord. So I got to get out of here. So we left. And we drove 1,000 miles from northern Minnesota all the way to Lexington, Kentucky. 1,000 miles. My Norwegian grandmother said, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? Are there no colleges in the state of Minnesota? No good, like, Norwegian schools like Concordia or Gustavus? Can't you go stay here and go to school? And no, we got to go. We took off. Drove all the way down there. Got down there and got in the music department and took a music history class with a girl and got our notebooks confused, and it was Miriam. Met her one day downtown. We walked downtown. I walked down to get something at the drugstore. She was in the same drugstore getting something for a roommate, and we walked back together and talked, and I thought, man, she's really... And she was extremely talented. She had perfect pitch. She was a piano major, piano performance, and just unbelievable skills on the piano. Just phenomenal. She could play anything by ear. She could read music unbelievably. And she was the top, one of the top piano people that they'd ever seen there. And they all wanted her to go on and pursue a career in that. And so they told me that she was engaged to be married to a guy. And that he was from another college and he was an athlete and I should just don't even think about it. Because I was a transfer student. So all the other guys that had been there, they all had their eye on her too. And they said, you know, we've tried and just don't forget it. It's not going to happen. So then she played. She played for me because I had to sing at a Valentine's banquet that the school was putting on. And we had to sing. I picked the songs and she played them. And they were just romantic songs from that era. There was a song by Bread that some of you may know if you listen to any of the oldies on the radio, and it was called If. If a picture paints a thousand words, then why can't I paint you? And there was another song by another group that was called Cherish. Cherish is the word I use to describe all the feelings that I have hiding here for you inside. And then there was that Elvis Presley song. That Elvis Presley song, wise men say, only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Man, we practiced a lot. I needed a lot of practice in those little practice rooms. So one thing led to another. And the other guy went away. And we got married. Because I needed a partner. And so it wasn't any of the girls I went to high school with. I really caution you about that. Because you're not just going for, you know, your high school boyfriend or your first crush. You're going for the person that has the purpose on them. Who is he? Who is she? If you're just going for, and it may not be the guy that just makes your mouth water. You know, it may not be that guy. He may not have a Letterman jacket. He may not be that guy. Probably the guy with the Letterman jacket is going to be winding up working for him someday. The guy with the purpose. Because he's pursuing purpose. So you go for that. You go for that individual. You say, God, who is the one? Who's the one? I'll just tell you something. I quit dating prior to this. Just quit. Because I knew I needed a partner. So I was right about that. So I pursued that. So I would ask this girl out. I just said, I'm not doing this anymore. Part of it was because I didn't have a lot of money. But part of it was because I was just tired of being frustrated and just tired of being disappointed and just tired of going out with people and spending an evening with somebody and just buying them a meal and talking and everything. And then just, no, this isn't going to work. I couldn't do this every night. You know, this isn't the one. And I just stepped back and just began to pray. And I said, God, I'm going to be single and content. And I'm going to pursue your plan for my life. And you've got a partner for me, and whoever that is, whenever she comes, however that works out, that's up to you. But I'm not going to go chasing around like an idiot and make a fool out of myself and just waste my time and waste my energy focused on trying to get something for myself that you're going to give me that lines up with my purpose. So you think, you know, at that time I thought my purpose is that I'll have a wife. My purpose is so that I will, you know, I'll be happy. I won't be single. But God's purposes are so much higher than our purposes, our purpose. God saw this and said, no, the person that you marry is going to have to be able to do this. They're going to have to walk with you through stuff. They're going to have to stand with you. It's going to have to be the kind of woman you just saw on the platform that did the transition. It's going to have to be a woman like that. That's the person that you're going to need. That kind of a woman. So I have no idea where you find women like that. I wouldn't have been able to find her. She was down in South America. She couldn't have found me. I was up in northern Minnesota. There was no way that we could get together but for God. God honoring our desire, her desire and my desire to fulfill his purpose for our lives. Amen? And we pursued that. So I told you a long story. It's very personal. Don't repeat it to anybody. But God has people And those people are the people that are going to be able to walk with you through thick and thin, through the fire, through the flood. Those are the people that are going to be able to bless you and help you. Many times people say, oh God, open a door, open a door, open a door. And God will begin to talk to us about something that doesn't even connect to the door. He'll say, I want you to go here and submit yourself to this right here and develop a relationship with this person right here. Serve that person or just develop a friendship with them. Begin to spend time with them. That's what I want you to do. Well, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. I need you to open this door, open this door. Only to find out that if you will build a relationship with that person and obey God, that's the person that God's going to use to open the door for you. But you don't want to do that because you don't like relationships. And many times we don't get into relationships because we make stupid, emotionally driven, pain-driven vows. And we say things like, I will never. And then after that, whatever we put in there, we sandwich that in between the word again. I will never, la, 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 again. I'll never trust this one. I'll never do that. I'll never trust a man. I'll never, whatever. We make these vows. So then God brings a man into your life that you're supposed to trust. Yes. But are you going to? No, because you made a vow 10 years ago because you got hurt never to trust a man. And now God's brought the trustworthy man, but you guys are not going to click. Repent of that. Break it. Say, I break that. In Jesus' name. I break that ungodly vow that I made when I was hurt and I was angry. I break it in Jesus' name. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You break it. Many people are living in that. They're living under their vows. They think, well, am I cursed? No, you're not cursed. You're just living under a stupid vow that you made. Life and death in the power of the tongue. You made it, you break it. You said it, you eat it. All right? The Bible says that you'll eat the words that you speak. You'll eat the words that you speak. So I'm just going to stop. And I'm just going to tell you that I'll be preaching here again next Sunday. But here's the conclusion. I cannot make sense out of my life without Christ. I could not make sense out of my life before I met Christ. I did not know why I was here. I could not figure out what my purpose was. I had no idea. I had no idea. I just didn't know. I just thought it was just all, you just lived and just things happened and that's whatever. That's the way it is. I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of life is. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I did this. I don't know if I did that. I don't know if anything meant anything. I just kind of did the best that I could. Well, no, you didn't. The best that you could do would be to go to the Lord and surrender your life to Him so that you could live the abundant life in Christ. Two kinds of life. There's the life you live in Christ, which is the purpose-filled life. And then there's the other one, which is just crazy and horrible and tormenting because you lay awake at night wondering, have I ever done anything right? Have I ever been where I was supposed to be when I was supposed to be there? Have I ever met anybody that I was really supposed to hook up with and really supposed to be? I mean, is it just all like rolling the dice? I mean, is it a game of chance? I mean, is there a God somewhere that orchestrates? I mean, is this God's will, this mess? Like the guy falling down the stairs. I can't choose the right path among so many that are lit up and so attractive. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man and it ends in death. I don't have the power to choose. I just can't. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough experience. I haven't been around for centuries and centuries to see how things actually work out. A lot of the decisions that are being made today are very short-sighted. They're not based on wisdom at all. They're based on just a little slice of time called now, and we're making life-altering decisions, and we have absolutely no idea if it's the right path or not. I can't choose those paths. I have to choose Christ, and then if I choose Christ, then the path is already laid out for me. Amen. Amen. Amen? I can't be in the right place at the right time without Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, again, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I enjoy going to Walmart. People see me in Walmart and are surprised to see me there. Sometimes, like they think I don't go there. But I love to go there, and I always try to obey like a prompting that I feel like to go now. Sometimes I'm about to drive by and I just pull in, I just go. Sometimes I don't even know exactly what I'm gonna get. I walk up and down the aisles until I think of something. And I always get stuff, because I always need stuff, so it's always purposeful. I mean, I'm always there for a natural purpose. But then when I go, then I run into people that there is no way that I could run into them. None whatsoever. It's a matter of just split seconds. In 2 seconds, they will go down this way and I will walk past and never see them. Just like that. And that moment will not happen. But as it is, it's almost as though we're on a string and it's like, boom, you're going to go face to face with that individual right now and you have no idea what's going to happen. So I go in there already kind of like juiced up and ready to go. I mean, I'm in there and I'm thinking, man, something's going to happen in Walmart. Wow. It's more than, boy, they don't even know what they're talking about when they say it's the saving place. I mean, it's, this is the saving place right here, I'm telling you. I'm ready. Well, I go in there and I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Because I know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And every time I have those encounters, I have them all the time. And you're supposed to have them all the time too. Just be in the right place at the right time. I'm in the right place. I'm here right now doing what God's called me to do. And I'm telling you, there's a joy in that. And there's a power and there's a confidence in that. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing. I could be any place on the planet right now. My wife and I could be in Brazil right now. We both speak Portuguese. We go there every year, preach in Portuguese. We could go there and have a great ministry in Brazil. There are people that would love us to come to different places. We got connections all over the world. But we are here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. This is the center of the universe. It is. It's the place. I'm telling you, God put you here for a purpose. You didn't want to come here. You didn't know, but God has something called prevenient grace has covered your life before you ever got saved, before you ever got right with God, before you ever had a sensible thought in your head. God's hand was on your life. Just like your hand is on your little kids. They have no idea what could happen to them, but for you. You're there. They don't even appreciate it. They're never going to thank you. When all that stuff you saved them from when they were in their first year of life, their second year of life, their third year of life, their fourth year of life, their fifth year of life, guess what? When they're 25, they won't even remember that. They won't even thank you for that. But they'd be dead if it was not for you. And what were you to do? To cover them and watch over them till they could grow up and get some sense and be able to take care of themselves. And before you got saved, before you got right with God, God's hand was on your life to keep the devil from killing you, because God had a purpose for your life and he was not about to let the devil separate you from it. So God kept you. And you thought God didn't care that you were a sinner and you could sin your brains out and nothing would happen. And God said, no, I hate the sin, but I got a purpose for you, buddy. I planned it out before you were ever born. And I am not going to stand back and let the devil wipe you out. I'm going to bring you to a place where you can choose. Till you have that day when you have to stand before me face to face. I'm not talking about judgment day, but when you see the Lord and you recognize it's going to be either my way or his way. And this is a decisive moment in your life. And I've hit those moments where I knew I can either go this way or I can go with God. And thank God I said, oh God, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to trust you. The Bible says, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct your paths. You don't know the place. You don't know the partners. You don't know the partners. You don't just hook up with people. You don't just go to churches because churches, it's church. Nah, there's a place. Specific place. There are people waiting for you in that place that God's going to use to unlock things, to open doors for you, to teach you, to bless you, to help you. There are people in this place that will help you so your marriage doesn't go down the tubes. There are people in this place that are going to help you and partner with you so your kids don't go to the devil. There are people right here in this room who are going to help you and pray you through battles for your health that you're going to win because you got partners. You don't want to just be hanging around any place where the people say, oh, you're sick. Well, that's the will of God. Die. You want people that will say, no, hey, we're not on my watch, that will stand up and say, come on, let's make up a hedge. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand up and give God praise and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So there's a purpose. And there's a path. Isn't there? Amen. There's a place. And there are partners. What if there had never been a Christmas? What if Jesus had never come? We wouldn't know our purpose. We wouldn't know the path. We wouldn't know the place. We wouldn't be walking in partnership with great people that God has preordained to be a part of our lives. It's like that present is under the tree. That box that's wrapped up with your name on it. And you know what's inside? Purpose. Purpose in Christ. In Christ. And that's what we want. We don't want to just live our lives and pay our taxes and, you know, die. And we want to do what we were created to do. We want to be who God made us to be. We want to be where He wants us to be, in a blessed place. We want to be connected to the right people. That is abundant living. Jesus said, I came to give you that. That's what Christmas means. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you for every person who is here. Thank you for the greatness of the plan and the purpose that you have for each life. And Lord, our prayer is that it would be fulfilled, and we declare it over each one. We declare that God's purpose for your life will be fulfilled. We declare over you in Jesus' name that you will walk the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We declare over you that you will live and dwell and possess that blessed place. We declare over you that you will partner with men and women of God, men and women of great faith, men and women of great faith in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not walk alone, and you will not stray from the path in the mighty name of Jesus. That revelation is coming into your heart and into your mind, the ability to see with the eyes of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for bringing us, all of us, Lord, together to a place of growth and fulfillment as far as you are concerned, so that your joy will be fulfilled and that the reward for Jesus' suffering will be full. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you've never given your heart to Christ, all of these things are found in Christ. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, then he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and all things become new. The Bible says that as many as received him, unto them he gave power, supernatural, Holy Ghost power, that they would be changed and transformed from rebels into faithful sons and daughters. If you've never been saved, never been born again, never given your life to Christ, then this is the time and this is the place. This is the purpose for which Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. If that's you, raise your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I know I need to get right with God this morning before I leave. I want to receive that gift. I want to receive Jesus. And then in Christ, my purpose is all wrapped up in Him. The path that I walk is all wrapped up in Him. The place is all wrapped up in Him. The people, the partners are all wrapped up in Him. I want Jesus. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. I want to know that my sins have been forgiven. Wherever you are today, just lift your hand. Pastor, pray for me. I want to get right with God. We're just watching for you, just to see. I see this hand right here. Anybody else? I want to get right with God. Anybody? 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 Just raise your hand. In the name of Jesus, we want to make an appeal to you, strongly as we can. Just plead with you today. Get right with God. Be reconciled to Him. Be reconciled to Him. Do I see another hand? Yeah, okay, great. Okay. Anybody else? Ushers, thank you for helping me, just to check out the crowd here to see. If you raised your hand, I want to ask you to come right now. We got at least two people, but I want you to come. And I want to pray for you. I know we got one back here. Just come on. Miss Katie, if you could step out of the way. Yeah, she's coming out of that aisle there. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. We got another young man coming. Good for you. How old are you? 11. Okay. Very good. All right. Very good, very good. Yeah, thank you. All right, are you mom? Yeah, okay. So we're gonna pray. So I want you to join with me. Let's all pray this prayer together and help them. Just, you can close your eyes so you can kind of have some privacy and not be distracted by the people around you. I want you to pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Fulfill your plans and your purposes for me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to be in Christ. I want to know you from the inside out. So, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I put my faith and trust in you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for breaking sin's power. Thank you for straightening me out today, getting me on the right path, and showing me in the beginning stages what my purpose is, and the next steps on the path, and the right place, and the right people. Thank you, Lord, for opening all this new world up to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So I need my red books. We got my red books? Yeah, thank you. Romaine, can you take them off over to the side there and just help them out? Yeah, if you'll follow Romaine, he's going to help you. He's got these materials for you. We want to make sure you got a Bible. If you need a Bible, I'll make sure you have one. Amen.